Isn't this an exciting time? All you have to do is be around kids for a while to get excited, get caught up in the excitement of this season of the year. You know, I suppose if there was just one night in all of the year that you could stop time, you'd probably want it to be tonight. Just keep it like this. You know, this is the one night of the year that most everybody talks to everybody. You know, you say hello to people, you greet people, you smile at people, and you shake hands with people that you just never normally do. And it's exciting. It's a great time. And you know, it's an exciting time. There's a lot of excitement in the air, not without reason. Because you see, tomorrow there's going to be a birthday celebration. And you know, the birthday that's described, this particular birth, is described as really special. Because the birth that we're going to celebrate tomorrow is the birthday of a king. A very special birth. We read in Matthew chapter 2 where this was such a special occasion that magi came. And they said to the Roman king, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" We sing a Christmas carol that describes this birth as that of a king. The words go something like this. In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the king. Now, you know, royal births have always been special. Most unusual. Great deal of preparation goes into a royal birth. You know, the whole country gets caught up in a royal birth. And there's great preparation made. You know, there are great announcements that go out. And when that day finally arrives and that little one, that little princess or prince, that future king or queen is born, boy, the place just goes wild. There's great celebrations. And it's a joyous time when royalty is born. But you know, on the night that the king of kings was born, the scripture says things were a little bit different. You see, as we understand it, there was no royal family present. There was really no royalty evident at all. And yet this was the birth of a king. Mary was there, the baby's mother. Mary didn't look very royal that night. Mary is described as the chosen woman of the chosen race. Elizabeth, a relative of Mary's, says this about her, "Blessed art thou among women." An angel said to her that night, "You have found favor with God." Tradition tells us that Mary's father was probably a Galilean from Nazareth, that her mother was a Judean from Bethlehem, and she was probably between the ages of 12 and 14 when she was engaged to Joseph to be married. Her family was probably a very humble family, just from the fact that they arranged for her to marry a carpenter. Her clothes, well, you know how they paint Mary in the pictures, very gorgeous, flowing robes. And that probably wasn't the attire that she was wearing on this particular night, the night that the King of Kings was born. Rather, Mary was probably dressed in a very coarse, unbleached linen. And she probably wore a dark blue headband around her brow, like other Galilean peasants wore. Joseph was there too, the night the king was born. Matthew says that Joseph belonged to the royal line of David. But the scripture presents Joseph as neither prince nor king, but rather as a carpenter. Very popular trade of the day. Probably not one of your more prominent societal type occupations. Joseph was a poor man. And this is indicated to us by the offering that he made at the temple when they carried Jesus there to present him to the Lord. An offering was required. And the offering prescribed by the Mosaic law was a lamb or a kid. But if you were poor and couldn't afford the lamb or the kid, then the law provided that you could offer a pair of turtle doves or a pair of young pigeons. And that's the offering, the scripture says, that Joseph made when Jesus was presented. Matthew calls Joseph a just man. And when Matthew uses that term, he uses it very warmly. Like you and I would say of someone that we were very fond of, there is a good man. Matthew says Joseph was a just man. He was a good man. Well, as a carpenter, men of that trade were usually considered to be sober, matter-of-fact, down-to-earth people. And you know, he disappears from the scene very quickly. We know nothing of how or when Joseph died, or where. He just passes from the scene. The birth of the King of Kings takes place in a little town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem was probably never very important in history, outside of this event and its importance to you and I. But it wasn't one of your bigger cities. It wasn't a city of kings and princes and royalty. Samuel anointed David there to succeed Saul, we know that. And the Old Testament prophesied that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah in Micah chapter 5. When Jesus was born, Bethlehem was a sleepy little market town. It was a poor city. Had probably one very narrow street with cobbled black stones. And I can just picture it on this night when all of the people are gathering in. They probably haven't visited this little tiny sleepy town for years. But a census has been called and everybody has to go back to their city. And here it is, just bulging at the seams with people, crowding down this black stone cobbled street. No, Bethlehem wasn't your city of kings or princes. There were no palaces there. When Joseph and Mary arrived, they arrived unnoticed in a crowd of nameless faces in a packed city. None of them really wanted to be there. This was most inconvenient. It was so crowded that when they went to seek shelter, the scripture tells us there was none. They probably had one little tiny inn, very shabby. It wasn't your Holiday Inn, Ramada. Very shabby, run-down place. And there was no room there. What rooms were there were taken. And so Joseph, in his duty to his wife, who was by this time heavy with child, and perhaps in much pain, Joseph sought the only shelter available to him at that time, a little stable. And you know, the stable that Joseph found was not what you and I would call a stable today. Wooden construction or maybe steel construction with nice scented hay, fresh, clean hay. No, that's not what Joseph found. It's probably more a place filled with insects, flies, etc. There were no doors or curtains to close. There was no privacy in this cave-like grotto. And here it is, in this little cave, this dirty little place where Mary brings forth her firstborn son in all the discomfort and inconvenience of a stable. And the text says she wraps him in swaddling clothes, long, narrow bands of cloth that were used in those days to wrap a newborn infant. And they would take the newborn infant and they would place its hands or its arms down at its sides and they would wrap it very snugly. And this was considered to be to give strength to the newborn infant. This was a common practice. And then she took the newborn king and she laid him in a manger, a feeding trough used for animals, probably a hollowed out stone. And this was the birthplace of the King of Kings. See, the coming of Jesus has made a greater difference in history, or in the history of mankind, than any other recorded event. When he came, not only was there no one to welcome him, no one recognized him. The King of Kings. Well, why did he come? Scripture says, for one thing, he came to fulfill the Davidic covenant, according to Luke chapter 1. You see, God had promised to David and his seed a king forever on the throne of David. And Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 31, says, this Jesus, born the King of Kings, came to fulfill that promise to David. He also came to do his Father's will. And he said that himself in John chapter 6. I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do my Father's will. He came for another reason. He came to reveal God to you and me. How would we ever know? How could we know what God was like? Jesus came, according to John 1:18, to reveal God to men. You see, without Christ's coming, there would be no definitive evidence of God's existence. You remember the film strip we just saw? The man couldn't get the birds to understand. He said, well, if they were going to understand me, I'd have to become a bird. And then it struck. That's why God became man, so that I might know him. Scripture says that Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. In John chapter 10, he says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why he came. If you were here Sunday morning, you heard Pastor Cotton make a statement like this at the end of his message. He said it was God taking the initiative to reach out to us. Just consider that. The God of the universe, who created everything we see around us, who created you and I, Jesus being born in a manger, was God taking the initiative to reach out to you and me. Hebrews 10 says he died to provide a sacrifice for sin, which you and I could not provide. Because you see, this babe, born in a stable, laid in an animal feeding trough, was the sinless Son of God. And he came in order that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. You know what it would be like if Jesus didn't come? There would be no personal salvation without Jesus Christ. Consider that. All of us, right here today, would be groping in darkness, lost, without any hope beyond the grave. If Jesus didn't come, we'd have nothing to celebrate. But he did. The King of Kings was born on a night probably very much like this, in a little village, in a stable, in a feeding trough. And he came to give us life. If he were to come tomorrow, I wonder if he would recognize what we were celebrating. Would he know it was his birthday? I trust he would. Let's pray. Oh God, we're so thankful and grateful that in your great mercy and grace, you gave your Son. God became man in order that we might have eternal life, in order that we might behold thee, the only true God, in all of your glory. Father, cause us to be ever mindful of what we celebrate tomorrow. Father God, cause us to be mindful of the price that you paid in order that we might have life. You dwelt among us. You lived, you died, you gave your life. But surely that's not the end of our hope, because the scripture tells us you rose again. And right now, you're at the right hand of the Father. We praise you for this. We thank you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.